Imagine for a moment how much more you and I might attempt for God now if we really believed the message to the song that we were that loved. And I thought about even my own life when I wrote the verse, what will it take? What must I do to get through the darkness surrounding you? Why won't you listen? Why won't you hear? Is it because others whisper lies in your ears? And I thought, yeah, that's the way the world is, Lord. And then I thought, oh, geez, you know, that's the way I am too sometimes, Lord. I'm believing the lies myself. I'm doubting. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm wondering if you're really going to come through. And I just started, I must have played it if I wished I would. The downside with my guitar is it doesn't have amplification, but it's classical and I like it 1,000 times better, and I wished I had it and we didn't get a chance to rehearse it. But I must have sung that song already 1,000 times. For hours sometimes, just went over that one over and over, thinking to myself, not only of the world, but of my own heart, of my own life. I was thinking of Rachel's story. How God loves to use the weak and insignificant, despised nobodies to shame those who think there's something. To me, Rachel is a walking testimony of the grace and power of God. On the outside, she's unassuming, ordinary. She may not think of herself as having many talents, but she's a trophy of the grace of God. And here, a friend is overhearing someone else talking about her life. And then I thought about the Rockers who went to help her mom move. You received nothing in return. You did it because you loved Christ. You did it because the love of God has touched your life. And because His love touched your love touched the life of another person. And we may never know just quite the impact that your love and your acts of kindness had on Rachel's mother. But God knows. And even what I'm going to share with you in a little bit tonight, the ramifications of her mother being softened to Christ or coming to a point where she receives Christ are unbelievable in light of what I'm going to talk with you about a little bit. God is good. I realize I'm just like you. I've shared this with some of you. I doubt sometimes myself. God, where are you? God, what are you going to do? God, what are you doing? Some of you know this, and I know a number of you have been looking for jobs and praying for jobs, and I heard, praise God, that Tom Holly found one after 8 months the other day. And I heard that it's Aaron, right? I always think it's Adam, but it's Aaron, right? Adam. I always think it's Aaron, but it's Adam. Adam's been looking for 7 months, and God provided him with a job. So I've been praying for my son, who is the kid up here playing the guitar, and he's been looking for 200 days. And I had him, but in 200 days, he found one, and he actually found two. And one was a temp job for a year. That was good. That had tied him over while he looked for other ones. But the first week, they didn't call him. Then they did call him. They had work, so he went in. In the meantime, another opportunity came, so he went and saw the people, and he had 4 interviews and an hour with each person, and then they called him and said, come in again, and he went in again, and then they called him and said, we want you, everybody wants you, we want you here, we want you here, really good job, where he not only have a good paying job, but all the courses that they sell to high schools, he would be able to take and get certified for free, $10,000 worth of courses. It's like, oh yes, God, we had a party, I bought him a gift, we celebrated the goodness of God. 4 days later, I come home. He's just pulling out of the driveway. He rolls down the window. His face is fallen. He says, Dad, they called me. The mother company, the parent company owns this, dropped 40 points on the NASDAQ today. They're all afraid they're going to lose their job. And the guy called and said, we have to retract the offer. We're sorry. I don't know what to tell you. We can't hire you. They put a hiring freeze on everything. And I'm thinking, you know, God, I won't use the word I sometimes use. I was mad. I think I was more mad than him and more distraught. I mean, I've been praying many times a day for 200 days. You know, people talk about this, pray to God for these 45-day stuff. I've been praying 200 days, God, in my office, in tears. God, he needs a job, God. My son needs a job. I'm begging you. I'm asking you. He's getting married September 1st, God. This looks really bad, Lord. Help us. don't play with my son's emotions, God. Don't do this. But you know, like a father who's watching his child plugged into a life support system, I'm powerless. You know, you begin to realize the older I get how absolutely powerless and out of control everything in my life really is. And I was thinking the other day, this was also Honduras. I had lots of meditation time down there. And I'm thinking, you know, God, the Bible says God can do whatever he pleases. I can't do anything I please, really. You think you can? Really? Did today go the way you wanted it to go exactly? Did it? So many times I've come to a worship time, years when I was leading worship. I'd be praying, oh God, we're going to have an awesome time tonight. And the night was totally screwed because the sound went weird. We had demons in the wires. And you're going, not really, but somebody didn't know what they were doing. And it became Chinese torture of God for me the whole time. And one time, this is no lie. This is embarrassing. It's humbling, but it's true. So I admit it. I was a pastor. It's like 4 years into Evergreen. I was leading worship this one night, and the gal that I was singing with, things were not going well, and she gave me one little curt remark, and it was like it sent me over the edge. I didn't say anything. We were just ending practice. I went back. I sat down on my chair. I'm thinking, 4 minutes, I got to go out in front of these people. I don't want to go in front of nobody. I want to rip some heads off. I don't even want to be here. I cannot believe the kind of stuff I go through. This is the road I'm going down. So Brent sits down. He looks at me. He goes, you feeling well? I said, no, I'm not feeling well. He said, well, you don't have to go out there. And I said, I won't. See ya. I picked up my bag and left. I went home. Yeah, and the girl I was leaning with starts bawling. Oh, I discouraged the pastor. Oh, my gosh. And she has to walk out. And Brent had to lead the music. It didn't go too well that night. It was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, I just... Yeah. Sometimes, you know, and I don't mean this in a suicidal way, so please don't take this when I say this. Sometimes when you just like to walk out of your life, you know, just kind of life. You know, if I could just leave my body, just body, you stay there, you suck anyway. I'm going this way, you know, just a new life. I need a new life, you know. When I got to tell you honestly, I mean this lovingly, but you know, everybody was excited about the article, and I heard the article was coming out. I did not know where they were going to put my picture, and number one, it stunk. I mean, I really am that ugly, but that was such a bad picture. But secondly, I don't want any press. I don't want anybody to know my name. One day, I couldn't believe this. I'm thinking, I don't ever go hardly on the internet. I don't really like it. I'm thinking, Yahoo. I wonder what happens if I type in my name. Oh my gosh, I came up on the internet. All you had to do is type in my name. I'm going, I do not like this. I don't want to be known. I don't want the flack that comes with being known. And people taking pot shots at you. It's like, just put Greg's picture in the paper, Lord. Put your picture in the paper. I don't want my name in the paper and my name in the my picture or my name, you know? It's like, oh. I'll get a trailer and I'll cut wood and I'll sell it. I can live for $200 a month in a trailer. I can work at Super America managing at night. And I have a good reputation with those people. And my kids are almost gone. And, you know, you get on these weird... So that's why Honduras was a good thing for me. I was able to get out of the country. I thought about just walking off into the jungle. No, I didn't. Not seriously. But you know, these songs, they bring me back, they ground me, they ground me, writing them. They remind me of what God really is and who God really is and that he's capable of extraordinary things in all of our lives. He's really capable. There's nothing that God cannot do. And even though sometimes, and I know this, and I'm maybe my son's felt this, and my wife at times, I remember when Kathy and I had waited all these years to get married. For us, it was a long time, engaged for almost 2.5 years. And it was like 8 days before a wedding, and we had to call it off. And I remember, I've never seen my wife cry that way. Never. It was a hopeless cry. It was like, I give in. I can't take anymore. Just let's forget the whole wedding. Let's forget God. And I remember that one time. It's really not been any other time quite like that in the 25 years that we've been together, 23 years of marriage, that I thought, I'm going to lose her. She's gone over the edge. She's gone over to the other side. It's like, and kind of, I kind of understand, God. I don't believe you're doing this to us. I won't explain all the reasons why, but we needed to do it, but it was so unfair. It was so unfair. And it was like God dangling that thing, you know, in front of your face. Nope! It's like taking a little baby, you know, sometimes you go, want a sucker? No, can't have none. And then you start licking it in front of them. You know, that's so mean. When I was a kid, a teenager, I was not a good teenager. I was good in some ways, but in other ways I was not. And I was a terrible tease. A horrendous tease. A mean tease. I kind of still tease today. I don't mean it to be mean. Sometimes it probably comes out that way. But I was really a mean tease. And so I had the money in the family, my brothers and sisters. I was the oldest of six. Every Saturday morning, it's cartoon time, right? You know, Johnny Quest. Well, you don't know Johnny Quest. Scooby-Doo, you know Scooby-Doo? Well, anyway, we had other cartoons that we watched. And so I'd send one of my brothers and sisters down every Saturday to the little corner grocery. It was McCoy's Grocery Store. And it was on the corner. And I get Highland barbecue potato chips, Fanta Red, that red pop, a drumstick, and all for me. And I give them a quarter for going. You could get all that for a buck, plus I give them a quarter. So they could buy bubble gum or something. And then I would sit and eat it in front of them. And sometimes my little brother would sit and I'd take a bite of my drumstick, go, here, you want to smell? And I'd rub it in front of his nose, then I'd put it in my mouth, you know? And it's terrible, isn't it? Eventually I got saved and let him use my car and he took all my clothes and all my albums and, you know, I changed. But you can never make up for those years. You really can't. Wished I hadn't done it, but I did. Sometimes, without our faith, it really feels like God does that to us sometimes. But he doesn't. But it feels that way. And you wonder, Lord, what are you doing? And why are you doing this? Because I trust you, Lord, but this is, I really need this. Or, you know, I was trusting you to come through. And I know a number of you are in a variety of ways are feeling that in your life, maybe in different avenues. And I just want to encourage you tonight that whenever you doubt the love of God, which we all do from time to time, never forget the cross. Never. For God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our very worst, Christ died for you. And he died for me. And then I just began to think, you know, Lord, but sometimes I doubt that. And then I think, Mark, I gave you the moon. I gave you the stars. I gave you the mountains that you love so much. I made them. They're my handiwork. And I gave them to you for the human playground. Well, I know you do, Lord. Well, Mark, I gave you the eyes that you use to see all those things. I gave you the body with which you experience all these extraordinary things in life. And I have to have hard talks with myself. It's one of my secrets to spiritual encouragement. Like, I think it was Greg last week was talking about how David talked to himself. Right? Was he sharing that last week or the week before? Pretty sure he said that. And I have to have these talks with myself. Mark, get your rear in gear, man. It's not true. God's done this for you. He's done that for you. He's done it. And I just start going over, like David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. And forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your disease, or heals all your diseases, forgives all your sins, crowns your years with good things, so that your strength is renewed like the eagle. He separated your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. They never meet. God looks at you, there's no sin. He looks at you, there's no sin. Sometime Jeremy was doing a song before the service tonight, just warming up, but I'll have him sing it out because I don't think he has it already. It's called Can Only Imagine. It's by a group called, what are they called? Mercy Me. Incredible song. If you can find it, get it off the internet, find it, then lay on your bed and let it play over and over. I promise it'll make you cry. But in a good way, a good cry. As you begin to think about heaven, what will you actually do when you see the Lord? Will you fall on your face? Will I run? Will I cry? What will I do? What am I going to do when I actually see him? Get your mind and remember where you're going. It's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. And that really gets me through. I'm going to do a message some night here about what gets me through. And I did it for the pastors in the GCLI Institute a few weeks ago. But I'm telling you, I think about heaven every day. I mean, I'm honest to God. I'm very anxious to leave this place. I'm very anxious to get rid of this body and have the new one that God's going to give to me. But just like the Bible says that our life is like a vapor and poof, it's gone. It's gone. And I have a unique perspective on that because I, unlike most of you, have children that are now getting married. And you know what? Poof! Where did 22 years of my life go? And in another poof, me and Mama are going to have no kids at home. And that's going to blow my mind. And then poof, I'm going to be 65. And poof, I'm going to be 75 and frailer than I am today. Your life is flying by. Don't forget what's coming for you, okay? Don't forget. That's why Paul writes, "For I am convinced that these present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed. For these temporary sufferings are producing for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs the burden of the suffering." Some of you remember, maybe you remember the Dan Jensen story. Maybe you don't. The ice skater, the speed skater, whose sister died of cancer. She was his best friend. He fell time and time again. It was like his last possible Olympics. And he'd fallen in his best race. The family is sobbing and crying. And in the race he was not predicted to medal in, he won the gold. It was one of the most extraordinary Olympic stories I've ever seen. Trust me, that little gold medal around his neck outweighed all of the suffering of, I think it was, three previous Olympics or two. And fallen down and never meddling. And he had all these high expectations on him. And that's going to happen when you and I cross over. For now, we have to grab, we have to cross over by faith. You follow me? We cross over to the other side by faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 says, that those saints of old were looking forward to a future city whose architect and builder was God. In the meantime, they wandered about, it says, in goat skins, like vagabonds living in caves, and the world was not worthy of them. And you know what? The world's not worthy of you. I look at Rachel, and the world isn't worthy of Rachel. And I know the world, they may look at Rachel and they may not think, well, someone like Rachel or someone like you and me, they go, well, you're not worth much. But to God, the world isn't worth you. You're precious to God. And He loves you. But I understand. I want you to know, I understand the pain that you feel. I feel it too. Sometimes He takes us through things that you go, Lord, this seems to defy your promise. This seems to go against the nature of your character. I don't understand it. And it's almost like this summer I went on a ride with my little boy, Micah. Well, he's 13. He's actually as big as me. We share clothes, Micah and I. And that's how cool I am. See? So we're down in Orlando. I was speaking in Orlando and I was able to take him with me. And if it went not for Micah and my wife, I would never touch Disney World. I hate that kind of stuff. I despise that kind of stuff. But for them, I went. And we paid to get in. It was a lot of money. And they have this ride, the wildest roller coaster sort of ride. Now, I want to be strong for my son. You know, and act like I'm tough. But I hate those things. I hate them. So we get on and your feet aren't touching anything. You're hanging by, you're locked in by your arms and your... I don't know how to explain it. Okay? So I've watched a few people. Micah, he's jacked. He just can't wait to do this thing. So we're going along. I'm thinking this is okay. The next thing I know, we go up, 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 up. And then we drop. A velocity, we hit 80 miles an hour. Okay? You know how I made it? I closed my eyes and squeezed my glasses to my head because I felt them coming off. And I kept my eyes closed the whole time. If I had not kept my eyes closed, it moved so fast I'd have puked. I didn't scream. My son's going, oh, Dad, this is great. I'm going, just, it'll be over soon, Mark. This ride, I timed it before. It only lasts 2 minutes. Hang on. 2 minutes, okay? Sometimes with God, you want a ride, just close your eyes and faith it. Because it's the only way through it. It's very scary. This ain't no roller coaster ride. This is no Fear Factor. It's a lot bigger than Fear Factor. This is like, Lord, this is my life we're talking about. You close your eyes and faith. It's gonna come out. It's going to come out. I got to hang on for this ride. Also, I want to share with you one of my other secrets, that the best defense is an offense, attack. Whenever you're feeling the devil's really getting you down, one of the things that's helped me is to throw myself at the enemy. And one of the ways I do that is I begin taking my telephone, calling up other people that I know that are going through something hard, and just seeking to encourage them. Just before I left for Honduras, I was in the middle of a very, very difficult deal. And very difficult, like the kind that saps my knee strength out from under me. And a wife called me on the phone, someone from one of our other locations, and she's kind of emotional. She said, "Mark, could you please call my husband? I hardly even know him." She said, "He's really going through a hard time. He needs encouragement. He looks up to you. I know just a word from you will change the whole game." And I was thinking to myself, "Oh, Miss, sweet lady, sister, if you only knew what you are asking of me right now. If you only knew what I was going through, you have no possible idea." I didn't say any of that. I just said, "You know, I'll do my very best. What's his number? And I'll give him a call." So I called and we talked, and he was kind of emotional for him. And I just said, "You know what, brother? I totally understand what you're going through. Your labor's with it." I gave him some encouragement. I get a call, an email while I'm in Honduras from him thanking me profusely. Said, "Mark, it made the difference." And then one of his leaders cornered me at a meeting and said, "Mark, I just want to thank you personally. He's one of my best friends. You have no idea. That made all the difference in the world for his life." And I find that when the devil comes after us, the best thing to do is go after him. Not by personally cursing him. "Ah, devil, I curse you, devil. Fight," you know. That's not what I mean, okay? The Bible says, "Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil by," what? "Doing good." I begin praying for other friends. I begin, whether it's with the lost person. And so sometimes when we go through difficulties, of course we need to unburden our own soul. I'm not saying that. And we need to take care of our own emotional burden. But it always helps me to just remember out there. Remember out there, Mark. And I think about the saints of old whose wives were martyred, whose children were killed on the mission field, who were persecuted in the newspapers, who were accused of crime. Some of you have read the book, My Utmost for His Highest. I'm sorry, this is age, and I don't like it. I never used to be this unsmooth. By Oswald Chambers, you know, it's Oswald Chambers, right? Okay. You may not know this, but, I mean, what an extraordinary man. When he was in his early 20s and God was beginning to use him, a college girl accused him of molesting her. Now, I want to tell you, whether you live in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, or the 20th century, that's a pathetic accusation. It's about the worst possible thing you could be accused of as a man of God, and you didn't do it. You would not believe some of the traumas and the trials that men and women of God have gone through. And of all, it's possible the most difficult is not when they kill you, but when they assassinate your character and you know you didn't do it and you can't prove it and no one believes you. And only God knows. In every case, you put your nose to the grindstone and you go, "You know what, God? I'm here. I live for the audience of one. I serve you. You know my heart. You know my life. You know my motives. And I'm just going to continue serving whoever you put in my way, whoever you put in my life."